जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवन धारी, जया गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवन धारी, सोर नन्ना बज जन रंजना, सोर नन्ना बज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरा जमुना छिरावन चारी, जया राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवन धारी, सोर नन्ना बज जन रंजना, जसोर नन्दना बज जन रंजना, जमुन तीरावन चारी, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanarivinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Vrivaja Kachaja Asto Tarasata Sri Shriman, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavanityananda Shadvaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinashama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Shri Navadvip Maya Vardhamma Ki Shri Gangamayi Jamunamayi Ki Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Guru Vanakacharya, Nirvishesha, Vishwacharya, Siddha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 55. The title of the chapter is The History of Pradyumna. And we're starting with text 26, and we have four texts, I think up to text 29, and there's no purports. So I guess we can chant 29 responsively, and I'll just chant the other ones. Does that sound? Or we want to do the first one responsively? Okay, we'll do the first one responsively, and then I'll just do the other ones. Antakpuravaram Rajan. Lalanar Shatasankulam. Viveshapatnya Gaganda Nar. Vidyuteva Balahaka. Antakpuravaram Rajan. Lalana Shatasankulam. Viveshapatnya Gagadnad. Vidyuteva Balahaka. Vaishnavas? Antakpuravaram Rajan. Lalana Shatasankulam. Vivreshapatnya Gaganan. Vijiteva Balahaka. Antakpuravaram Rajan. Lalana Shatasankulam. Viveshapatnya Gaganan. Vijuteva Balahaka. Antakpuravaram Rajan. Lalana Satasankulam. Vaishnavis? Antakpuravaram Rajan. Lalana Shatasankulam. Viveshapatnya Gaganad. Vijiteva Balahaka. Antakpuravaram Rajan. Lalana Shatasankulam. Viveshapatnya Gaganad. Vijiteva Balahaka. Antapura. The inner palace. Varam. Most excellent. Rajan. O King Parikit. Lalana. Lovely women. Shata. With hundreds. Sankulam. Crowded. Vivesha, he entered. Patnya, with his wife. Gaganat, from the sky. Vijita, with lightning. Eva, as. Balahaka, sorry, a cloud. Okay, translation. By Srila Prabhupada, by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. O King, Lord Prajumna and his wife resembled a cloud accompanied by lightning as they descended from the sky into the inner quarters of Krishna's most excellent palace, which was crowded with lovely women. Text 27 and 28, we can chant together. Tang dvistva jalada shamam pita kosheya vasasam. Palamba bahum tamraksham susmitam ruchirananam svalankrita mukambojam nila vakra lala Krishna matva striyo hitya niliyus tatra tatraha. The women of the palace thought he was Lord Krishna when they saw his dark blue complexion and color, the color of a rain cloud. his yellow silk garments, his long arms and red-tinged eyes, his charming lotus face adorned with a pleasing smile, his fine ornaments and his thick, curly blue hair. Thus, the women became bashful and hid themselves here and there. Text 29, together. Avad harya shanayar ishad vailak shanyena yoshita upajagmu pramudita shtyastri ratnam suvishmita. Gradually, from the slight difference between his appearance and Krishna's, the ladies realized he was not the Lord. Delighted and astonished, they approached Prajumna and his consort, who was a jewel among women. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nir Vishesha Shunyavadi Prashchacha Dosatane Mukam Kuruti Vachalam Pungam Rangayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatanam. So, when I was in Chicago just recently, I gave a class to a bunch of students from IIT, which is Illinois Institute of Technology. And the topic of the class was, does God exist? So my effort was to at least open them up to the idea, because they're all a bunch of technocrats, you know. So my task was to at least open them up to the idea that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or God, without all the other words, exists. That there's reason to accept that God exists. So we had some discussion, and gradually, people started saying, yeah, maybe there's a God. And then a couple of people raised their hand and said things like, well, I can believe there's a God, but I can't believe that Jesus Christ arose from the dead 3 days after he was entombed. And I can't believe that God spoke through a burning bush. And I can't believe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought, well, we've got him beat. Because if you can't believe that God spoke through a burning bush, can you believe that there was a baby born and he was thrown in the water and he was eaten by a fish and the fish was fished out and the fish was given to the cook and now the cook was a baby and then the baby grew up really fast and he married somebody, turned out to be Krishna's son, looks exactly like God, and Hare Krishna. And that's only the beginning, right? Because we have all kinds of, you know, there's a three-headed priest who performs a Vaya Yajna from which a huge demon who's actually a devotee emerges, or a beautiful woman who runs out of a house screaming with a baby on her breast and then turns 12 feet long and they burn her body and she smells like roses. So it goes on and on and on, how the Bhagavatam and the scriptures challenge our ability, our willingness to really accept the fact that Krishna is, or God is, and that God could do whatever he likes. And he does do whatever he likes. And the activities that he likes, whatever they may be, are recorded in scripture. And especially they're recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the summum bonum of all Vedic literature. So where does that leave us? And, you know, to actually examine, question deeply, how much or how really deeply do we accept the Srimad Bhagavatam? How much faith do we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in these stories, or do we read them? When I was going to India, I was going through customs in India, and I went through I may have said this in class, I can't remember, somewhere I said it in class, that I went through the customs, and the person who was the customs inspector, immigration, looked at my passport, and he looked at me, and he knew I was a Hare Krishna devotee, probably going to Vrindavan. And he said to me, I just want you to know that Mahabharata is a fact. It's not mythology. That's what he said to me. Just in case, I needed that remembrance. So So he actually said that to me really strongly. I was quite impressed that he said that to me. Of course, as soon as I walked through immigration, there was like liquor all over the place being sold and so many other things to divert the attention from the fact that Krishna is God and that Mahabharata's not mythology, what to speak of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada often stresses the need, the necessity for us to hear the scripture from a bona fide teacher. Because unless we have an anchor, unless we have somebody who is qualified and who knows the truth because he's seen the truth, and he can help us to develop a faithful connection. Parampara is actually a faithful connection of one person surrendering to another, and one person surrendering to another, and one person surrendering to another, and ultimately connecting us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's just not a formal connection where you get your beads and you get your name and you sit before a fire and throw grains in. It's actually a development of trust and faith in somebody so that you can actually go and say, now I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. And then the spiritual master takes that surrender, and because that person is qualified and because that person is trustworthy and because that person is also connected by a faithful connection to somebody who has those qualifications, then the chain of disciplic succession is successful. And one becomes connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to develop faith not only in the Bhagavatam, but also in the person Bhagavat. Krishna Prabhupada says there are two Bhagavats. There's the person Bhagavat and there's the book Bhagavat. And we have to develop faith in both. In order to have faith in one, we have to have faith in the other. If faith is damaged, it's a very, very difficult commodity to repair. Once faith is cracked, you can't use, crazy glue to fix it. It's really hard to stick it back together in such a way that will stay together, because faith is very, very easily damaged and very, very difficult to repair. In Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, in the 40th verse, Krishna says, "But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this life nor the next." So that's serious. If our faith is damaged, if we don't have faith in the scripture or in the devotees who are dedicated to the scripture, we'll fall down. And there's not going to be happiness for us neither in this life or the next. So if we look at that verse and that purport, we look at that purport a little bit more. I wanted to read something from Prabhupada's purport to that verse, text 40. He says, "Out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is best." Bhagavatam is best, more best. "Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures. And some, even though they have knowledge, I can cite passages from the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words. And even though others may have faith in the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. Out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all. But men without faith in God and his revealed scriptures find no good in the world nor in the next." So, without firm faith. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his discussion on this verse, he also divides these three very clearly, that someone has no faith at all, he's like an animal, and the Ashradhana, he has knowledge of Shastra, but he's seen so many different conflicts in Shastra, so many different opinions, and he has so many different, he sees so many people that aren't qualified, not only in his own scripture, but in other scriptures, that he loses, he doesn't really have faith in religion. You notice that if you go into a room of students and you ask them how many people believe in spirituality, most of them will raise their hand. If you ask them how many people believe in religion, none of them will raise their hand. Because they've become so jaded and so burnt out, to use a colloquial expression, on the idea that religious practice can actually take us to a spiritual place. They see it as a rather a diversion, as something that keeps us, almost a blockage, that keeps us away from spiritual life. So rebuilding that faith is very difficult. And for people who have some faith, but nevertheless doubt that followers of Shastra will actually get result. In other words, they have some faith that there's God, but they don't follow any path. They won't accept any teacher. They don't believe that anyone can tell them how to find God. For those people, there's happiness neither in this life or the next, because they don't achieve success in their spiritual quest, and at the same time, they suffer miserably in the material world because they do understand that there's a higher thing, but they can't get there. So for them, there's happiness neither in this life or the next. And they have no hope. They have no optimism. They see the world as full of people committing jihad and uncomfortable things, and in the name of religion. And so even though they know there's something higher, they can't put their faith anywhere. They can't put their faith anywhere. So, but we understand that faith depends on our full acceptance, our surrender to Guru and Shastra. And we're living in a world which is basically determined to destroy faith in anything. Not theologians, but psychologists, they call this the fear generation. That because we're so plugged in to media, specifically phones and Google, Guru, we're programmed to be fearful of everything, right? We don't trust anything. We don't trust what we eat. We don't trust what we drink. We don't trust anything. Everything is contaminated. Everything is adulterated. And the news that we get, so what's the news? We never get news that matters, and we get conflicting news, right? Fox presents it one way, CNN presents it the other way. What to speak if you go to Britain, or you go to Russia, or you go to China, or you go, and then you listen to the news there, you get a totally... So with the real news, please stand up. How do you know? You don't trust anybody, because you don't know who to trust. You have no way of understanding who's real and who's false. So we have to be very cautious, because this world that we live in breeds mistrust, breeds a sense of fearfulness, and coming with that fearfulness, the only one we trust, strangely enough, is our own mind and senses, which are the least qualified to receive trust, because they let us down all the time. But somehow we never look at ourselves when we want to place distrust. And then we wind up just trusting ourselves, even though we're not very trustworthy. because our senses are so imperfect, we can't understand anything. We can't even see. I find myself now, as I'm getting older, I read a joke the other day that said, don't feel bad when your eyes start to go. It's just God protecting you from what happens when you look in the mirror as you get older. So as we get older, our faculties get less and less reliable. And even then, we rely on them. Even though they're less reliable than they were before, we can see the space between what we used to be able to hear and what we used to be able to see. And what we can see and hear now, there's a big space there, right? But still we trust our senses, even though they're even more imperfect now than they were before. But we still trust them, and we trust our perception. So then, what you get is you get an infinite number of gods who each can look at the world and give you the absolute truth in however they please, because their perception is considered the ultimate perception. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't fall into that trap, and that we can develop the faith despite the faithlessness. We can develop the faith in Guru and Krishna. And it's very important that we protect it. We If we want to go back to God in this life, we have to protect our faith. And that means we have to work very, very hard, very diligently to come up to that level of faith where we can relax, we can put down our guard. Just like Draupadi, she had to put down her guard in order for Krishna to enter her life and save her in a moment of great disturbance. And first she put her faith in Bhishma, and then she put her faith in Vidura. She tried to put her faith in the Dhritarashtra. You're the leaders, you're the rulers. I have to put my faith, but they were not worthy of her faith. Then she put her faith in herself, but then she realized even herself, she couldn't protect herself. So then she put her faith where it was rightly positioned in Krishna, and he saved her. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in an essay on Putana, published in the 1932 version of the Harmonist, he speaks of this inclination to not have faith, or the inclination of society to destroy faith, as the Putana mentality. And he gives the example of how Kamsa, desiring to put everybody in, have faith in him, he instilled fear in everybody else. And he hired people like Putana, who in the guise of very beautiful people, like Putana, disguised herself as a beautiful woman, and everybody trusted her because she was beautiful. That was her qualification. They didn't listen to her speak, they didn't see her activities, they just thought that she was really attractive. And because she was attractive, they put their faith in her, and then what was she? She was a Khechari witch who was trying to kill babies. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur equates that, those Putana-like persons, to the religionists, the clergy, and the philosophers of this day and age. That those people are dressed up very nice. They have lots of letters after their name, and they're famous, and they publish books, and they get applause when they give a lecture, and people go hear them by the hundreds. If hundreds of people listen to him, he must know what he's talking about. The unfortunate thing is hundreds of people listen to everybody, and they don't know what they're talking about. So these Putana-like persons, they poison the aspiring transcendentalist with false spirituality. And in the Sri Upanishad, in the 12th, the 12th sloka in the purport, at the end of the purport, Prabhupada speaks so heavily, especially about false religionists, people who give fake spirituality and lead people who are looking for God on a magical mystery tour. On a magical mystery tour to try to find a God where he isn't. And it's quite deliberate. It's quite deliberate. So we have to understand that the Shastra is multidimensional. It has a lot of different facets. It teaches us different lessons in different ways, sometimes by allegory, sometimes by analogy, sometimes by prayer, sometimes by examples, sometimes by stories, and sometimes by experiences. The Bhagavatam and the Shastra in general takes us into different realms of spiritual understanding, all designed to ultimately build and support the faith of those who are sincere in their spiritual quest. If someone is insincere, they'll be knocked out somewhere along the way. It's like a series of tests, and you know, you go through the first one, the second one, the third one, and then, you know, like Prabhupada, when he was looking at all the sweet balls, the ones that were too big, he would go like this and knock them out of the line. So we get knocked out of the line if we don't maintain our faith in a strong way as we go through the different tests that Krishna gives us in the Bhagavatam. That's why we're supposed to start the Bhagavatam at the lotus feet of Krishna and gradually work our way up to the 10th canto, because the 10th canto information is the most challenging, faith-wise. It's very, very challenging to read certain stories in the 10th canto. First of all, some of them mimic the experiences we have in the material world so closely that we tend to equate them with the material existence, like Krishna's relationship with young women. And then we dumb down the whole thing to our own interactions with the material world, and we lose faith because we minimize Krishna's godness and we make him sound like he's just one of the guys. So that's one way. And then we get these stories, these leelas that are, they're completely mind-blowing to logic. So sometimes we hear, you know, we try to argue with logic and reasoning, but it only goes so far. If we try to put too much logic and reasoning on top of the Bhagavatam, we just wind up in a mess. And then we become in this situation where we have no faith in anything. We become, our faith becomes destroyed, and we become it becomes very difficult for us to surrender completely. We will only surrender to those things that make sense to us. And the things that don't make sense to us logically, we won't surrender to them. So then we only accept some of the instruction of the spiritual master because some of them just don't jive with what I already know is the truth. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says that we have to appear as a fool before the spiritual master. When we come before the spiritual master, we have to have the idea in our head that we don't know anything. Blank slate. And Srila Prabhupada writes on that slate. The Bhagavatam writes on that slate. And now, because we live in this time and this age, that sounds very dangerous. You know, as we hear that, the mind says, whoa, wait a minute, blank slate, surrender, forget it. We can't do that. If I surrender completely, what's going to happen? I'm going to get cheated. I'm going to get abused. I'm going to get beaten up. And then especially when it does happen occasionally, that even tests us further to see if we'll go beyond, if we'll keep going, even though there's an accident on the royal road. So Prabhupada gives us some instruction how to build our faith because other people are trying systematically to destroy our faith. So we have to work very diligently to keep Prabhupada's instructions very, very meticulously in the forefront of our lives. And as we live them, as we practice them, even when it's difficult, even when we push ourselves through hard times, through situations where we're challenged, then we begin to see what Prabhupada meant and how things work, and our faith becomes strong. But the faith building it's a gradual process. And we have to keep moving forward with it until our faith becomes strong. This requires that we have these qualities of conviction of success and patience and enthusiasm that are mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction as being essential qualities for making our spiritual advancement. If we don't have that conviction, that faith, that determination and that enthusiasm to go on even when the material world throws something at us and we think, oh my God, maybe it's not working, maybe I'm not become... I have people write all the time, I get letters from Krishna.com, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but I'm still in material trouble, my bank account, I'm still being audited, my family is still, you know, not doing what I want them to do, I'm not sure this process works, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but I'm not sure this process works. I think maybe I mentioned Madhumati when I told her that. She said she should tell him that the fact that nothing is working is a sign that he's chanting well, because Krishna takes everything away. So we have to be careful that we don't try to develop this aroha process where we try to find out the truth by our own faculties. Even Lord Brahma did that. Right? Lord Brahma, he lost faith in Krishna. He saw this little boy with a lump of Yasoda yummy in his left hand, and he thought, how could that be God? I mean, he's not even eating his right hand. He's got yogurt in his left hand. He's sharing sweets with his friends. What's that? So he decided to test with his own senses if this is really God. And he created this whole thing. I mean, he's Lord Brahma. He's a pretty powerful fellow. So he stole all the cowherd boys and calves. But he learned the hard way, or the sublime way, that Krishna is really God and that he can do whatever he wants. And so we can also see Krishna's hand in everything if we allow our barriers to go down. So he says, in Everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge, thinking, I know something. But in the presence of Krishna, this conception cannot stand, for one cannot bring Krishna within the limitations of our mind and senses. You have to submit. There's no alternative. And Prabhupada says this submission marks the difference between Krishnites and Mayavadis. That Mayavadis don't trust a person, so they trust nothing, because that's what they trust, nothing. So that's what they, right? When the end of it all, the only thing they trust is nothing. So that's what's there, nothing. And we have such a difficulty if we maintain our reluctance to surrender to anybody, then when we get to the end, there'll be nothing. Because in order to get Krishna, we have to really trust Krishna. So in order to touch, in order to accept the teachings of the Bhagavatam, we have to read the Bhagavatam with a certain degree of willingness to put our defenses down. We have to chant the holy name with a certain degree of willingness to put our defenses down. We have to engage in spiritual practice with that same willingness. And fortunately for us, Srila Prabhupada, by his infinite mercy, he is willing to take us along and give us the lessons that we need, even though we're not at the point where we really say, now I'm a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. I mean, we say it, but we say it with one hand on our sari and the other hand up in the air. And so, but Prabhupada is willing to go on anyway, and he's willing to keep leading us. And the Bhagavatam is also willing to keep leading us if we're just willing to keep following. If we're willing to keep following carefully and have unflinching faith in something sublime. That's the definition of faith. It's given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Also, Prabhupada quotes it in Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada, he wanted us to become convinced, and we need to act as if we're convinced until we get convinced. That's the bottom line, is we need to act as if we're convinced, at least have conviction in our spiritual master, that he's giving us the absolute truth. He has nothing in it for him. There's no with him for him. There's no, he doesn't get paid. He doesn't get anything. He's anxious to see us achieve spiritual success. And because he's living in that transparency, because there's nothing in it for him, really, except a headache, we should have faith that he's taking us to the right place and follow his instruction and follow the instruction of the Bhagavatam so that we can allow our faith to become strong. And I want to end by just reading one little Prabhupada pastime. He said that one devotee is talking from the GBC. He says, there was a special meeting with Srila Prabhupada. All the GBC men were sitting there in the room, and Prabhupada looked us all over. He said, are you convinced? We just sat there. Nobody said anything for about 2 minutes. It was one of the heaviest moments in my life, Prabhupada challenging us. Are you convinced? Are you sincere? And as Prabhupada spoke, his GBC disciples listened intently. As far as I'm concerned, he said, I am convinced, and therefore I am pushing on. It is a fact. I am pushing on because it is a fact, not fiction. That much I am personally convinced. Whenever someone says, you believe, I say, no, I do not believe. It is a fact. So you must spread your conviction by your literature, by your arguments, by your preaching, by facing opposing elements. But are you convinced? If you are not convinced, then it will not be good for me. So we have to somehow preserve that conviction and that faith in Srila Prabhupada, despite the fact that we live in a world which is determined to break down faith in anything. Faith in anything. So with these stories of the Bhagavatam, our faith is challenged. And we have to be very careful that although we read them and we say, oh, nice story, and we teach our kid, nice story, and we tell the kids, nice story, and we tell the story in a kind of storybook kind of way, how you tell stories, you know. And once upon a time, there was somebody who did this, and the fish was thrown in the water, and the But really, these are realities. And if we think about it, look what Krishna can do. If Krishna wants something to happen, look what he can do to make that arrangement. And that can build our faith. Because Krishna can move mountains. He did when he picked up Govardhan Hill. Krishna can do anything that he wants to make it happen. So there's no obstacle. There's no mountain too high. There's no obstacle. There's no sea too deep. There's no problem that Krishna can't figure out how to solve. Even if somebody wants a new body because his old body got burnt up and he has to get back with his wife in due course of time and get back to his mother, he could figure out how he's going to do all those things by throwing a baby in the water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it'll all work out fine. So we can look at Krishna's amazing qualities, the fantastic arrangements he makes to save his devotees, that he walks from one place to another as a deity, as to act as a witness, that he eats his lunch in the Murti form, because a little boy says, if you don't eat, I'm going to have to hit you with a stick. That's what my father does when I don't eat. So Krishna can talk to us. He can do amazing things. He can reveal himself to us if we just put down our guard and show him that we really are working on developing our faith. So I'll end there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Prangovinda, that was too fast.
Oh, but I had a little bit of concern. I always wanted to understand this deeper. Oh. That you said, now, in reality, like I know at this moment in my life that whatever some realization or understanding I have is by the mercy of Prabhupada and Vaishnava, his followers. But when you say you always present yourself as a fool, what is literary means? I should pretend like I'm a fool, but I know I have some idea, some realization.
You have some knowledge. Okay, maybe you have some realization.
By his mercy, but I should present myself as a fool. What does that mean?
That means that I'm malleable.
Malleable?
I'm malleable. You know what that word means? Malleable means I'm easily bent.
Oh, malleable.
I can be formed. Because if I think I know, then I'm rigid. But it's humility that makes us soft. And so then the spiritual master can show us how even what we know, even our realization, may not apply in this circumstance. There may be something that happens in our life, some story that we have a wrong understanding, and we'll be willing to listen. We'll be able to be shaped by the spiritual master. He can take us and he can put us wherever he wants, into any situation, train us up, and our knowledge won't get in the way. That's what the Prabhupada tells that story of the violin teacher who tells the violinist that trained for years, I'll charge you more, and the one who doesn't know anything, I'll tell you. So in some ways, when we think we know a lot, when we feel confident in our realization, it makes us rigid. So we have to keep that understanding that in front of the spiritual master, I'm a fool. I'm willing to be a fool. I'm willing to be proven wrong. Otherwise, we get too much confidence in our realization and knowledge, and then we really become a fool in the ultimate sense of the word, because we become stuck.
One more. You said also that if you are not completely convinced, at least act like you are convinced.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what is real. I mean, like, I should fake it until make it or some, you know.
Well, yeah, there's an element of fake it till you make it. But there's also an element of Krishna's assistance, that Krishna sees us struggling and he helps us out. That there's a story that I tell, not really a story, just an example that I give very often of a boy who was trying to lift some weights, and this kid is trying, struggling, and his father, who's about to go to work, he's dressed in a tie, he's carrying an egg to shake case, he's just about to leave, and he sees his five-year-old son struggling to lift this weights. And it goes behind the boy, puts his hands on the boy's hand, and he picks up the weight. So the boy is thinking, I did it. But actually, who did it? Krishna did it. But because he had the sincere desire, because he tried, then his father assisted him. So when that's the benefit of engaging in devotional service as opposed to the process of yoga, going up the yoga ladder. Because when we go up the yoga ladder without the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, without engaging in loving devotional service from the very beginning, we're trying on ourselves, then Krishna will let us go by ourselves. But we can't go by ourselves. That's the problem. So then it becomes a struggle. We can't do it. We can't do it. And then we give up. But if we're looking to Krishna, if we're rendering service to Krishna, and we're working in such a way that Krishna understands we're begging for his help, then Krishna will help us. And when Krishna helps us, everything is possible. So we have to fake it till we make it. Not fake it in ignorance, though. Sometimes we talk about fake it till we make it, and it's artificial, and it's the motivation is artificial. The motivation is that we're doing it because we want somebody else to see that we made it, even though we didn't make it. But that's not why we should fake it till we make it. We should fake it till we make it because we know what the goal is, and we want. It's not really faking it even in the ultimate sense. It's acting on the platform of understanding the higher truth because we've heard from our spiritual master that this is what we should do. Because in Krishna consciousness, the means and the ends are the same. So what we're doing to get there is the same thing we'll do when we get there. So we're not really pretending to be there, we're just working on getting there. And so some people may see, well, it looks like he's pretending, but really it's just an ardent endeavor. And if our motivation is pure, then Krishna receives that endeavor, and by that intention, he reciprocates by helping us in spiritual life.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. And him, and then him. Maitreya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Is it possible to have faith in individuals but lose your faith in the institution? I mean, if that's a reality, how do you solve that problem?
Well, Srila, it depends what institution, and I assume you're talking about one that's near and dear to all of us here. the fact is that our institution, the institution of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is composed of many individuals. You're one of them. It doesn't exist outside of you or outside of all of us. We are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada set it up with some kind of management structure, and we have to understand that Krishna and Srila Prabhupada are working through that structure. Now, that structure may take us through trials and tribulations, and I completely concur that it definitely does that. It definitely stretches our ability to surrender, but at the same time, we have to understand that Krishna is in control. Nothing happens, especially nothing happens in Prabhupada's purview without Krishna's sanction. Nothing. Because Prabhupada is Krishna's man. So if Prabhupada wants something to happen, Krishna will help it happen. And he may help it happen by the fire of, you know, in the fire. He may have it happen by beating us over the head with bricks. But it will sort out the chaff. There's a very wonderful quote where Srila Prabhupada is talking about some devotees a long time ago, and he says, they tell me they want to follow me, but they don't want to follow the GBC. But I'm telling them that they should follow the GBC. So they don't listen to my order. That means they don't trust my order, which means they don't trust me. So so therefore, their statement that they trust me is hypocrisy. And it really makes a lot of sense. If Prabhupada says, do this, and I say, well, I want to listen to you, but I don't want to do what you say. What's wrong with that picture? So yes, the people, just like in the Shastra, we find many great, great, great people, like wonderful devotees who apparently make a mistake, and somehow from that mistake learning comes and everything is rectified. And like with Indra, he makes mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, and learning occurs again and again and again. I often question what would happen if he was in ISKCON. I'm not sure what would happen. It would be very difficult. But But the fact is that we can't forget that Prabhupada and Krishna are working on us through the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And part of what we have to do to chant Hare Krishna is not to minimize the order of the spiritual master. His order was to work together to make this movement move forward. And just the act of working together is a lesson in how to engage in pure devotional service. It's not easy. We have to do it. Hare Krishna. Kalyapani Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, what did you answer to those Christians, those students who didn't believe in miracles?
Well, we showed them some miracles that they do believe in and some apparent not miracles in the part of the people that they do believe in. They put their faith in something. Everybody tries to put their faith in something. So the question is, who's got more right to your faith? So it was a discussion. I engage them, because people like that I can't lecture to. Why am I? I'm not a professor, PhD, who am I? So I engage them in speaking, and they came to the conclusion that religious practice, has benefits for spiritual life. And they all agreed that there is a supreme being. And then we talked about their qualities, and then we had to eat prasadam. But they went from a point of no faith to considering that there might be benefit in looking at spirituality through the framework of religious guidelines. And I thought that was progress, so I was happy with that. I can show you I have the whole thing that I took them through. Who? Oh, over there, okay. Take the microphone.
Our faith has to be strong,
yes.
So we don't waver. But at the same time, you're saying we have to be malleable. So we
not our faith malleable.
The faith,
our faith in ourselves, our faith in our own knowledge being the be all and end all of everything. The faith in Google, that Google knows everything, that the faith that our senses can give us all the information we need, that faith has to be malleable. But not the faith in Guru and Krishna. That faith has to be fixed, nishta.
But that faith is growing. I mean, the whole
process. Yes, it's growing.
It's growing. So right. That faith will get tested, and then it comes back. Like
right. Every time you go through a test, it becomes stronger.
The other thing is too, like when you're preaching to new people, they have to have some type of intelligence to distinguish, you know, like you said, the knowledge, you put it aside. And I know they have to have good karma or something to actually, some people take it, like a whole bunch of people.
You can create good karma, give out sweet balls.
Yeah, because sometimes if they don't have any intelligence whatsoever, you know, you can't even talk to them. But
yeah, but you can create that by giving them prasadam. It's the secret weapon.
Okay, because this faith is completely on another level. It's not...
Well, you have to understand, they're innocent people, and many of them are innocent people, and they live in a society which is dedicated to destruction of faith. The government has a purpose to destroy faith. There's a reason for that. And, you know, ultimately they want to shift their faith to them, or to shift the faith of the populace to them. I know that my friend, oh, there is. Anyway, there's a purpose there. Because when you're fearful, you follow. And often you follow the wrong person. If someone appears to be able to mitigate that fear in the immediate sense, and then you follow that person. That's like the example that Prabhupada gives of the bread, that the communists came with a truck of bread and said, ask God for your daily bread, see, no bread. Here we are, we got bread, so we'll have faith in you. But where are they now?
I find also, the other day I was standing in the grocery line, and there were some girls behind me, young girls, and one of them was saying, I wonder what I did wrong in my previous life. I'm having a hard time. And so I thought, oh, they must be devotees. I mean, it was such a perfect statement, like... So I turned, I said, Hare Krishna, and they go, huh? And then lots of people have this knowledge, some kind of knowledge, but they don't really know what it means. Mm. So I said, oh, well, you believe in reincarnation? She goes, huh? And I said, well, that's if you have a previous life, this life, you know. And then I realized that they hear these concepts.
Well, my mother, who was a devout, not Krishna conscious person, she used to tell me all the time, I curse you that when you grow up, you have 10 children just like your own. And she said it so many times that I had so many children just like me. I mean, children just like me, that I would have so many children just like me. And I did. Rebellious, wild, determined to be on their own. I had so many children just like me when I was a Gurukul teacher. So you know, my mother wasn't a devotee, but she, and inadvertently, she was confirming reincarnation when she said, I hope you get, you know, children like, just like you're doing, you'll get the reaction. You'll get the same thing in your life. So it actually, studies have shown that in the world, over 70% of the population of the world accepts reincarnation in some form. Maybe they don't articulate it, but they accept it. Yes. Last question, because we have to end.
Thank you. You were talking. I was thinking about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's society that he established, which was a great preaching tool. He did great, just magnanimous service through it. And then when he passed away, the whole thing fell apart. And Prabhupada, knowing this, he emphasized that ISKCON had a certain, you know, that we should be faithful to the institution. And I don't think that he didn't know that all the inconsistencies or disagreements or whatever might be there. But he did know that if we stayed together and if we worked as a unit, then the preaching and Lord Chaitanya's mission would go on in such a great capacity that there was no need to find fault with the society, even though there may be so-called faults there.
Well, that, and yes, that's definitely true. And also, if we please Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Chaitanya has reason, or inspiration, I should say, to facilitate the growth and existence and maturity of that society. So it helps us and it helps others. So I should stop because it's really late. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gaur Sishu.